So he says, Rahimahullah, وَعْتَبِرْ بِمَنْ مَضَىٰ. Reflect on the fate of people who have passed before you. وَتَفَكَّرْ فِي مُنْصَرَةِ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ فَرِيقٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بِرِضَاهُ وَفَرِيقٍ فِي السَّعِيرِ بِسَقَطِهِ. And he says, reflect on the fate of the two groups before Allah. A group who will be in Jannah with His pleasure, and a group who will be in the blazing fire with His anger. وَعَرِفْ قُرْبَ اللَّهِ مِنْكِ. And know just how close Allah is to you. Know that nothing we do escapes Allah. And this closeness is through his knowledge and through his seeing and his hearing. All of these facilities bring us into constant surveillance by Allah Ta'ala. And nothing we do escapes Allah Ta'ala. So we should be mindful of that. وأكرم الحفظة الكاتبين. This is an important point. Honor those noble angels accompanying you who are recording your deeds. So they're angels who are accompanying us. And these angels who are in our company, we should not offend. We should honor. So how do we offend these angels? We offend these angels when we smoke cigarettes. Because the smoke is offensive to them. We offend these angels when we go into environments where there's haram, smoke-filled rooms, rooms where there's alcohol or we offend these angels when we're sitting looking at things that are unacceptable, because they're in our presence and they have to witness all of this. So we should avoid that as much as possible. And these angels are with us, they accompany us, and they're recording everything that we do. So we use foul language. They're forced to record that. So just as we want our friends, one of our Muslim friends, write this word down. So if we're alone and in private and we botch up something, oh, bleep. So we wouldn't want our friend to write down the word that's been deleted. So we shouldn't want the angels to record this. وَتَنَاوَى نِعْمَ اللَّهِ نِعْمَ اللَّهِ بِالْفَهْمِ. And deal with the blessings that Allah Ta'ala extends to you with understanding. Understand that this is a blessing and how great it is. And if I thank Allah for it, He will increase me and give me more. So we shouldn't just accept the blessing and then let it go without thinking about it and reflecting on it and understanding the beauty that's associated with. Look how merciful Allah is. Look how undeserving I am. And He's going to talk about that in a moment, inshallah. وَرُدَّهَا إِلَيْهِ بِحُسْنِ الثَّنَاءِ وَالشُّكْرِ. And then show your thanks for this blessing by praising Allah and thanking Allah. Or respond to this blessing. Respond to this blessing by praising Allah and thanking Allah. وَحْذَرْ مِنْ اتِّهَامِ النَّفْسِ بِرُؤْيَةِ الْمَقَامَاتِ. And beware of being deceived, ward off the deception of thinking that you've arrived at a certain spiritual station by always condemning your nafs for its faults. This prevents complacency. You never think, oh, now I should be at the maqam of the sabirin. And then as soon as you say that, Allah will test you with something and you say, man, I'm not very patient. So don't let the nafs deceive you to think that you've arrived at a certain station. Rather, blame the nafs in every situation. وتسفه الحق بغمط الناس فإنه سم قاتل فإنه سم سم قاتل. And don't belittle people and look down on people, because this is a deadly poison for your heart. And what the Prophet in the hadith of brotherhood, where he said, المسلم أخ المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يكذله لا يكذبه ولا يخذله ولا يحكره. That the Muslim is the brother of his Muslim, fellow Muslim. He neither oppresses him, nor does he lie to him, nor does he abandon him, nor does he look down on him, belittle him. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith sahih, بِحَسْبِ امْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْكِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. That is sufficient evil for a person that he looks down on and despises his brother Muslim. So he doesn't, after that, he's done enough evil. حَسْبُ امْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْكِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. So he says that don't behave foolishly with the truth by looking down on people and despising people and belittling people, because verily this is a deadly poison for what? A deadly poison for your heart and for your spiritual progress. Which is what? Your spiritual progress is you're purifying your heart so that your heart is attached to Allah and not attached to this dunya. Your heart is constantly remembering Allah and not remembering and thinking about all the distractions of this dunya. This is what we mean by spiritual progress. And that you're feeding your ruh with dhikr and with Quran and tahajjud and your good adab and good akhlaq, so that your ruh grows and your ruh becomes the commander and not your body, your carnal appetites. وَاعْتَزِلْ خَوْفَ سُقُوطِ مِنْ عَيُنِ النَّاسِ لِخَوْفِ مَقْتِهِمْ. And then he says, rahimahullah, avoid fearing that you will fall from being held in a high esteem by the people by fearing they'll hate you. In other words, you avoid doing things to cause that might lead to people disliking you, because you fear if you do those things you'll fall down in their esteem or lose your standing with them. So you don't give them advice even though they need it desperately, because the advice might be offensive to them. Or you let them persevere in a bad habit that you don't tell them about, because they might be sensitive and not want you to be around them, because you might point out another fault. And by so doing, just chop them down a few notches. So one shouldn't fear that people will come to hate them. Fear they'll fall from the good esteem that people have on them, and therefore not do anything to incur that might possibly incur or bring about their dislike. وخوف الفقر, or fearing that they'll fall into poverty if they did the right thing. Because if these people, they stop supporting me, I'm not going to be the imam anymore. If I'm not the imam, I won't have the position. If I don't have the position, I won't have a job. If I don't have a job, I'll be poor. So I'll keep being the imam and just keep my mouth shut. We shouldn't rationalize things like that. The best jihad, what's called the best jihad? Afdalul jihad. Kalimatul haqq. عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ. A word of truth in the face of an oppressive ruler. So this oppressive ruler might have your head cut off. You speak, but this is the best jihad. You say the truth, and if it leads to your martyrdom, you're a martyr. Allah. Well, this is a new sentence, actually, from all appearances, so we'll start here. وَخَوْفُ الْفَقْرِ بِقُرْبِ الْأَجَلِ. Don't fear poverty by reminding yourself how close your death is. So if you know I can die any moment, why should I be fear that I might be impoverished next week when I might not make it to next week? So I better do the right thing now, because I might die right now or very shortly, and then let next week take care of itself. وَأَخْفِ أَثَارَكَ مَسْتَطَعْتَ. And hide your good deeds as much as possible. So hide your good deeds as much as possible. Why? So you eliminate the chance of riya, or showing off being in those deeds. If no one knows you did it, then you can't expect to be praised for people, or looked up to by people, or talked about favorably by people. They don't know you did it. So this preserves the ikhlas that it's only for Allah Ta'ala. وَبْذُلُ الْجُهْدَ عِنْدَ الْمَشُورَةِ. And exert yourself when your counsel is asked. So if someone asks for your counsel, don't superficially give an opinion, give quick, hasty advice. Exert yourself diligently, because they're putting their trust in you, and they're not possibly seeking guidance that will help them in their deen. وَحَبِّثِ اللَّهِ بِعَظْمِ. And love for the sake of Allah with conviction. So if we love something or someone for the sake of Allah, we should do so with conviction, so that love is strong and firmly rooted. وَقْتَعَ فِي اللَّهِ بِالْحَزْمِ. And if you have to break relations with someone for the sake of Allah, do it expeditiously. So azm is conviction. Hazm is to do things with all due haste, fearing that if you wait, you won't do it. So expeditiousness. So we might have to break relations for the sake of Allah. There was a store in our neighborhood where the proprietor sold all kinds of pork and alcohol. I mean, they even have pickled pig feet. And really nasty, hardcore pork. And alcohol. So we went to the brother and he said, look, you know, get the pig feet out. We will bring you fish. We'll go to New York. We'll bring you fish and you'll make more money. And we'll tell all the Muslims to shop here. And the masjid was right across the street. So Muslims from all over were coming there. We said, we'll tell the Muslims to shop here. So he thought about that. You know, that sounds fair. Then we said, and get the alcohol out. And he said, brother, you don't know how hard I worked for my liquor license. So we said that we're going to tell every Muslim not to set foot in the store until you get rid of these things. So, it hurts. This is a Muslim. He prayed in the masjid sometimes. But we said, we're boycotting you. So when you have to boycott someone for the sake of Allah, you have to do it expeditiously, or you might waver and start rationalizing and you won't do it. And we pray Allah that we don't have to do these kinds of things. وَيَتُخَلِّلْ إِلَّا تَقِيًّا عَالِمًا. And only mix up or keep the company with pious, knowledgeable people. وَلَا تُخَالِطْ إِلَّا عَاقِلًا بَصِيرًا. Only befriend pious, knowledgeable people, and only keep the company of intelligent people who have some degree of discernment. وكن مقتديا بمن قبلك من الأئمة. And be amongst those, be follow those who came before you from amongst the righteous imams. Follow the righteous imams who came before. They were more knowledgeable. They were more pious. They were closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how could we be more guided than they? وَمُعَلِّمًا لِمَنْ بَعْدَكَ مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ. And be a teacher for those who will come after you from the people of this ummah. So we are all links in a chain. There are links before us and there will be links after us. So what does that behoove us to do? To make ourselves a strong link. So if the chain breaks, it won't break at our link. It's like a reader, one of the worst moments in sport. If you ever, any of you have ever run track, and you're running on a relay team, and you drop the baton. Now I speak from experience. I never dropped the baton, alhamdulillah. But I've seen the baton dropped. And you let down the whole team. Because, you know, everyone's struggling, grimacing, doof, hands it off, doof, then you get the baton, doof, you drop. And then all the other runners are gone. You know, he can never catch up. So we don't want to drop the baton. Those Muslims who came before us, they struggled, they sacrificed, especially in the last century, the 20th century, very difficult times. Nationalisms assaulting, dividing into these nation states, these artificial political entities, and secularism imposed over the Muslims. But despite those difficulties, they got this deen to us. They published books and translated and wrote and taught, and they got it into our hands. Now we have the baton. So we have to hold on tight and we have to pass it on to the next runner. So we're linking a chain and we want to make ourselves a strong link. Imaman lil-muttaqeen, leaders and guides for the righteous. And this is one thing we pray to Allah for. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And this isn't showing off, this is not for our sake, for the sake of Allah. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That we want to be leaders for the righteous. And pray that Allah gives us knowledge so that we may be leaders for the righteous. And we may contribute to the uplift of this deen. Not so that people could say we're scholars, but so that we can serve this deen. And we can thereby earn the help of Allah. And تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. You help the deen of Allah. Not Allah doesn't need any help. And تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you help Allah, He will help you. الجزاء من جنس العمل. كَهْفًا لِلْمُسْتَرْشِدِينَ. And a sanctuary for the people who are seeking guidance. وَلَا تُظْهِرَنَّ وَلَا تُظْهِرَنَّ إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ شَكْوَىٰ. And don't manifest a complaint to anyone. وَلَا تَأْكُلْ بِدِينِكَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't allow your dunya to eat up your deen. Don't allow your dunya to eat up your deen, or don't eat up your deen with your dunya. So we become so wrapped up in the dunya, we let our deen go. وَخُذْ بِحَظِّكَ مِنَ الْعُزْلَىٰ. And we mentioned this yesterday. Take your share of privacy. And one question, I don't know, maybe we did, we mentioned it. Take your share of privacy. We need some privacy. So turn off the cell phones. Turn off the television. Fight for your last bits of private space. And we mentioned some of the benefits of privacy. At least some time. Go to the masjid. Sit in the masjid for an hour. Think about Allah. Go to a park, to the woods. Go to the hills. Head for the hills periodically. Get away from it all. Don't bring your cell phone with you. Life will go on. Like, no, I can't leave it. You can leave it. Leave it and go. Your life will be better, more rich. You'll have a richer life for a few hours. وَلَا تَأْخُذَنَّ إِلَّا حَلَالًا. And only take from the halal. Only take from the lawful. وَجَانِبِ الْإِسْرَافِ. And avoid wasting and squandering at all costs. Because the wasters are إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, are the brothers of the devils. وَقْنَعْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْكَفَافِ. And be satisfied with what suffices you from the dunya. What's sufficient, we should be satisfied with. Don't want for excess and piling up. What suffices you, be satisfied with that. And now, don't understand, we should have rich Muslims. And if Allah facilitates us becoming rich, we should take advantage of it. But we should still only take for the dunya what suffices us and spend the rest feasibly left on deen intensives and things like that. وَطْلُبُ الْأَدَبَ. This next paragraph is a very beautifully worded paragraph. He says, وَطْلُبُ الْأَدَبَ فِي بَسَاتِينِ الْعِلْمِ. Seek your manners in the gardens of knowledge. In other words, our adab is based on knowledge also, and is a fruit of our knowledge. And the greatest garden of these gardens is the Qur'an. The greatest garden from the gardens of knowledge is the Qur'an. وَالْأُنْسَى اللَّهِ. He brings in the footnotes, قَالَ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ الْوَاسِعِ, who was one of the early sages of this ummah. He says, Al-Qur'anu bustanu al-arifin. The Qur'an is the garden for those people who want to know Allah intimately. وَالْأُنْسَى فِي مَوَاطِنِ الْخَلْوَى. And seek sociability or intimacy with Allah Ta'ala in the homelands of isolation. وَالْحَيَاءَ فِي شِعَابِ النَّفْسِ. And seek modesty and shyness in the mountain passes of the soul. Look deep inside of ourselves to find the things that humble us and make us shy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَتَبَارَ فِي أَوْدِيَةِ التَّفَكُّرِ. And seek contemplation and reflection in the valleys of admonitions or lessons that will suffice you in life in the valleys of contemplation. وَالْحِكْمَةَ فِي رِيَادِ الْخَوْفِ. And seek wisdom in the gardens of fear. وَعْرِفْ دَوَامَ إِحْسَانٍ. Actually, the first bustan should have been the orchards of knowledge, and now we are the gardens of fear. وَعْرِفْ دَوَامَ إِحْسَانِ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ مَا مُخَالَفَتِكَ لِأَمْرِهِ. And know how consistent Allah has been in doing good to you despite your opposing His order. Look how we oppose the order of Allah, and Allah just continues to do good, to clothe us and feed us and shelter us and overlook our faults, and we rebel against His order. We should know this because this emphasizes and magnifies for us the expansiveness of Allah Ta'ala's mercy and the expansiveness of Allah Ta'ala's forbearance. La ilaha illallah. And then he says, Rahimahullah, وَحِلْمَهُ عَنْكَ مَا إِعْرَادِكَ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ. And how he forbears with you despite your turning away from his remembrance. Someone who doesn't think about us, think how quickly we just lose patience with them. We forget about Allah and don't think about Allah, and He forbears with our shortcomings and our sins and our transgressions. وَسَتْرَهُ عَلَيْكَ مَا قَلَّتِ حَيَائِكَ مِنْهِ. And how He covers up our faults despite the paucity of our shyness before Him. That He covers up our faults. لا إله إلا الله. وَقِنَاهُ عَنْكَ مَا فَقْرِكَ إِلَيْهِ. And how He has no need whatsoever from us despite our absolute need of Him. La ilaha illallah. And then he says, rahimahullah, Imam al-Muhasibi, Ana alimun bi rabbihi. Where's the one who really knows his Lord? Ana khaifun min dhanbihi. Where's the one who fears for his sins, the consequences of his sin? But we don't even think about the consequence of our sins, let alone fear them. أَنَا مَسْرُورٌ بِكُرْبِهِ. Who's the one who's pleased to be in the near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَنَا مَشْغُولٌ بِذِكْرِهِ. Where are the ones that are truly preoccupied with His remembrance? It's related that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he had a string. And in that string they were tied, according to various narrations, 500 or 1,000 knots. And that he wouldn't sleep at night until he had glorified Allah, said subhanallah 12,000 times. And in Syria, one of the last really great muhaddithin, Sheikh Badruddin Al-Hassani. Sheikh Badruddin was a man who memorized and recited from his memory Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, in the Amawi Masjid with his chain of translations in the front of witnesses. So we're talking of a scholar of incredible depth and breadth. Is related, he would say 70,000 times every day, Salawatun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that he never slept reclined, he would sleep sitting upright in a chair, and his lips would be moving, making dhikr of Allah. Rahimahullah. A friend of ours, his father, I won't say his name, was a great scholar in Syria, still alive, is about 90 years old. A few years back, he's a hafiz of Quran. And every time you see him, he's reviewing his Quran. A few years back, he had an operation that caused him to be put under total anesthesia. And when he was totally gone, he was reciting Quran with his lips moving and an audible voice that was heard by his sons and other witnesses who were present. So these are the people of dhikr. These are the people, their hearts are never separated from the dhikr of Allah. Their hearts are never separated from the remembrance of Allah. So he says, where are the people who are preoccupied with His remembrance? أَنَا مُشْفِقٌ مِنْ بُعْدِهِ. Where is the one who dreads being distanced from Allah? هُوَ ذَا مَغْفُورٌ لَهُ يَا مَغْرُورٌ. These people are deceived even though Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. How could that be? How could it be that Allah Ta'ala forgives us and then we're still deceived? Who forgives our sins? أَلَمْ يَرَكَ الْجَلِيلُ قَدْ هَتَكْتَ السُّتُورِ. Don't you see, or has not Allah Ta'ala shown us that we are the ones who have dropped the coverings? Now we've exposed our nakedness. We've exposed our weaknesses, not Allah Ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam in terms of this particular sentence. وَعَلَمْ يَا أَخِي أَنَّ الذُّنُوبَ تُورِثُ الْغَفْلَةِ. You should know, my brother, that sins bring about heedlessness. وَالْغَفْلَةَ تُورِثُ الْقَسْوَةِ. And heedlessness brings about the hardness of the hearts. وَالْقَسْوَةَ تُورِثُ الْبُعْدَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And hardness of the hearts brings about distance from Allah. وَالْبُعْدَ مِنَ اللَّهِ يُورِثُ النَّارِ. And the distancing from Allah leads to the hellfire. وَإِنَّمَا يَتَفَكَّرُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَحْيَاءُ وَالْأَمْوَاتُ فَقَدْ أَمَاتُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ بِحُبِّ الدُّنْيَا. And only those will reflect on this who are living. As for the dead, they have killed their souls with their love for the dunya. So this isn't talking about the physically dead, and it's not talking about the brain dead, it's talking about the heart dead. So we have brain dead, right? The people in the coma and they can't move. And we have the heart dead, the people who can move but they're still in a coma. And we mentioned yesterday this poet who said, لَيْسَ مَنْ مَاتَ فَاسْتَرَاحَ بِالْمَيْتِ إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَيِّتُ الْأَحْيَاءِ إِنَّمَا الْمَيْتُ مَنْ يَعِيشَ كَئِيبًا كَاسِفًا بَالُهُ قَلِيلَ الرَّجَاءِ. That the one who, لَيْسَ مَنْ مَاتَ, who dies and comes to rest, he's not the dead one. Rather, the dead one is the dead from amongst the living. Rather, the dead, مَنْ مَيْتُ مَنْ يَعِيشَ كَئِيبًا, who lives in a desperate state, كَاسِفًا بَالُهُ, his whole situation is depressed and morose, قَلِيلَ الرَّجَاءِ, and he has little hope of improving himself. That's the one that's dead. So we pray that Allah, that He keeps our hearts alive, and He keeps our minds and our intellects alive, and He keeps us alive as long as our living is of benefit to ourselves and to our fellow human beings. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ كَمَا لَا يُغْنِي ضَوْءُ النَّهَارِ الْأَعْمَى. You should know, just as the light of day doesn't benefit the blind person, كَذَلِكَ لَا يُضِيءُ بِنُورِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا أَهْلُ التُّقَى. Similarly, the light of knowledge only illuminates those who possess piety. And piety, the Qur'an. Only those who are pious can benefit from the Qur'an. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book in it. It's sure guidance. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا, no doubt, there's no doubt concerning it. Guidance, it is guidance for those who have taqwa, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, those who are mindful of the commandments and prohibitions of Allah. And Orientalists can read the Qur'an day in and day out and never benefit in any way, never receive any guidance because there's no taqwa. So then he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, وَكَمَا أَنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَا يَنْفَعُهُ الدَّوَاءُ. Just as medicine doesn't benefit a corpse, كَذَلِكَ لَا يُفِيدُ الْأَدَبُ فِي أَهْلِ الدَّعْوَةِ. He says, and similarly, the manners and adab of the people of spirituality doesn't benefit the false claimants. The false claimants are those who claim a spiritual state for some worldly desire, worldly ends. So this da'wah is literally a lie. They claim that there's some elevated sheikh and they're trying to get like the Bhagwan, to try to get a fleet of Rolls Royces. So there's this air of spirituality and lot of incense burning and all these wonderful things, but it's all a lie. It's a false claim. So these people call Ahl al-Da'wah, not Da'wah. Ta marbuta Da'wah, Alif Maqsura. وَكَمَا لَا يُنْبِتُ الْوَابِلُ الصَّفَى. He said, just as a downpour of rain cannot bring forth growth or vegetation from a hard rock. You can pour all the water in the world on a rock, nothing will grow there. كَذَلِكَ لَا تُثْمِرُ الْحِكْمَةُ بِقَلْبِ مُحِبِّ الدُّنْيَا. Similarly, wisdom and wise teachings do not bear fruit in a heart that's inside of a person who loves the dunya. You can teach and talk and they can repeat all these wonderful phrases, but it will never bear fruit in that heart. وَمَنْ أَلِفَ هَوَاهُ قَلَّ أَدَبُ. And the one who loves the inclinations of his soul, his adab with his manners will be scarce. وَمَنْ خَالَفَ دَلَالَةَ عِلْمِهِ كَفْرَ جَهْلُهُ. And the one who goes against the indications of his knowledge, his ignorance will be much. So you study something and based on knowledge, a path is indicated for you. But you go against that path and go down another path, you're going to have much ignorance if this is your way. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُ دَوَاءُهُ كَيْفْ يُدَاوِ غَيْرَهُ. And the one whose medicine doesn't benefit him, how can he benefit someone else? How can he benefit someone else? Or how can he treat afwan someone else? So the one whose medicine doesn't benefit him, how can he treat someone else? As the Arabs, they say, فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The one who's lacking something can't give it to someone else. And as Muslims, we have to really think about this. We have the medicine, al-Islam. But if it's not fixing our diseases, the diseases of our hearts, the diseases of our families, the diseases of our communities, how can we treat these people in American society at large? Their families are falling apart, and we go to them and we say, yes, Islam has the most complete guidance for the family. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in His glorious revelation, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That from amongst his signs is that he's created for you from yourselves spouses, mates, that you may live together with them in peace and tranquility, and he's placed between you love and mercy. Verily, in this are signs for people who reflect, and they may come to our house and halfway up the driveway, you dirty bum, and I can't stand this. And I will get another wife. If this is how you're going to treat me, as a matter of fact, I'll get two more wives. If you do that, I'll run you over in this car. They turn around and leave. Say, oh man, come on. Maybe we're not doing that bad after all. Come on, Shirley, let's go. Get away from here. The guy is coming to get some advice from his Muslim friends. But the point is, we have to up the ante. Look at our communities. Look at our communities. In one of Sheikh Hamza's tapes at the Forgotten Roots Conference, And he, there was, I didn't see, I only heard the tape, but he was showing slides. I guess he showed a tent in Mauritania, and he said, that's the mosque. And he said, it's the most beautiful mosque I ever prayed in. Everyone likes each other. And people laughed because they thought about their own mosque. It was like World War III comes to Chicago, playing soon at a theater near you. World War III. The executive board meets the trustees. Ta-da. It's all out war. And we're trying to guide people. People come and they, you know, they say, man, maybe I'll go back to the church. So we have the medicine, but if it's not treating us, how can we treat the other people? So this is something to make us think. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ أَرْوَحَ النَّاسِ أَبْدَانًا أَهْلُ الزُّهْدِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And you should know that the most relaxed people are the people who turn away from this world. They're the least stressed. As the lady's bumper sticker or the license plate frame said, too blessed to be stressed. So these are the zuhad. They're too blessed to be stressed. وَأَطْعَبَ النَّاسِ قُلُوبًا وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ شُغْلًا أَهْلُ الْاهْتِمَامِ بِالدُّنْيَا. And the people who are most fatigued and stressed out and with the heaviest hearts are those who are the most involved and the most concerned with the dunya. وَعَاوَنُوا الْأَخْلَاقِ عَلَى زُهْدِ كَسَرُوا الْأَمَلِ. And the most beneficial characteristic to help you attain to otherworldliness is cutting short your hopes that you'll live a long time. Cut it short and you will immediately stop thinking about this dunya and start thinking about the akhirah. Well, zuhud, and we always have to mention the balance, because sometimes people hear things and take it out of proportion. Zuhud has nothing to do with being wealthy or poor, rich or poor. A zahid could be the wealthiest person on earth. So they say, a zahid قد تكون الدنيا في يده ولا تكون في قلبه. The world might be in his hand, but it's not in his heart. So if he's wealthy, he says alhamdulillah and gives the rights that he has to the poor and others. If he's poor, he says alhamdulillah and thanks Allah for the light hisab that Allah has made possible for him. So it's not about wealthy or poverty. If a person is dirt poor and he or she is longing for all this dunya and saving up money to buy a lottery ticket and praying they'll win so they can live like the rich people, that person isn't a zahid. That person is a poor wretch. And so it's not about wealth and it's not about poverty. It's about a state of the heart being attached to the akhirah and not being attached to the dunya. And what brings about this quicker than anything else? The realization that we can die at any moment. And this is قصر الأمل. وَأَقْرَبُ حَالَاتِ أَهْلِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ ذِكْرُ الْقِيَامِ لِلَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلِ. And the most direct path to the states of the people who have a deep knowledge of Allah Ta'ala is to remember and think about the time when we'll stand before Allah Ta'ala. So think, and all will have to give account for everything. So this makes us think about the awesomeness of Allah and about the how small we really are. As Allah Ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Verily Allah is watching over you, and it makes us mindful that Allah is watching over us and recording our every deed. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا طَرِيقَ أَقْرَبُ مِنَ الصِّدْقِ. And you should know that there is no path to Allah more direct than honesty and truthfulness with our fellow human beings, and honesty and truthfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and this is what we strive for. This is the description of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. From the believers there are men who are truthful in what they've convened with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نِحْبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْطَبِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Amongst them there are those who have fulfilled the oath. They've given everything fi sabilillah. They're martyrs. Because we say, we enter into the oath, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That verily my prayer, my sacrifice, my living, my dying are for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. He has no partner. So Allah says some people are truthful to what they say. And from amongst them, there are those who have already made the supreme sacrifice. And amongst them, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْطَبِيرُ. There are those who are waiting their turn. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And they've never changed in their resolve. So we pray that Allah, to Allah, that we can be amongst the truthful people. And this is the most direct path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا دَلِيلًا وَلَا دَلِيلًا أَنْجَحُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And there's no guide more dependable than knowledge. The knowledge, the guide that leads us along the path is knowledge. This is our guide. وَلَا زَادَ أَبْلَغُ مِنَ التَّقْوَى. And there's no provision more beneficial than piety. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَنْفَى لِلْوَسْوَاسِ مِنْ تَرْكِ الْفُضُولِ. And I've seen nothing that negates the whisper of shaitan more effectively than leaving off excessiveness. Because excessive eating and excessive satiation of our appetites increases our lust, and the increased lust makes us more susceptible to the whisper of shaitan, because he appeals to us through our lust. So leaving off excessiveness. وَلَا أَنْوَى وَمَا أَنْوَرَى لِلْقَلْبِ مِنْ سَلَامَةِ الصَّدْرِ. And nothing that illuminates more the heart more than having a magnanimous disposition. That, like being a big person, magnanimous, that we don't descend to petty things. We don't, we're not backbiting. That's low. We're above that. Bickering with people, we're above that. Being selfish, we're above that. So having an expansive chest, literally, a magnanimous nature. And we give, we're above being stingy. You need it, I have it, take it. Don't worry about it. You can pay me back, alhamdulillah. If you can't, alhamdulillah. And not being affected by insults and abuse, we're above that. So what they call me? Someone's more, people should be more upset than us. So and so, they said that you were a dummy. So what? So what? Tell them I'll pray for him. I'll make dua for him. So go back. He said he'll pray for you. So we know who the dummy is. So anyway. So having a magnanimous nature, this is the Muslim. وَوَجَدْتُ كَرَامَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَقْوَاهُ. And I found that the nobility of the Muslim is indeed his piety. وَحِلْمُهُ صَبْرُهُ. And that his forbearance is his patience. وَعَقْلُهُ تَجَمُّلَهُ. وَعَقْلَهُ تَجَمُّلَهُ. And that his intellect is his exertion to manifest beautiful characteristics. وَمَوَدَّتَهُ تَجَاوُزَهُ وَعَفْوَهُ. And that his love is his ability to rise above things and to overlook. To rise above and to overlook. This is his love. And love is always qualified in Islamic literature. It's never left as an abstraction, love. Here it's left as an abstraction. You know, we heart everything. I heart my car. I heart my wife. I even bring her flowers. But I never come home. But I heart her. I heart my dog. So we love everything, but we have no mercy, no compassion, no understanding, no forbearance, no forgiveness. So what does the heart mean? It's nothing but a little red thing that we can sell things with. So in Islam it has meaning. So when Allah says in the ayah we mentioned earlier, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةً, he made love and mercy. There's something joined here. So if there's no mercy, there's no love. So here he says, وَمَوَدَّتُهُ تَجَاوُزُهُ وَعَفُهُ. If there's no ability to rise above and to overlook, there's no love. And this is why we're falling into trouble now. We can't overlook. We say we love and love, but one thing goes wrong and we can't overlook it. You know, no one's perfect, mashallah. You know, let's go out to dinner. Instead, it's a big argument. وَشَرَفَهُ تَوَادُعَهُ وَرِفْقَهُ. And that his honor is his humility and his gentleness. This is what is honorable. And now people think they seek honor in just the opposite. They seek honor in their arrogance and their assertiveness and their forcefulness. People seek honor through this. As Muslims, our honor lies in our ability to humble ourselves and our ability to be kind and gentle. And we take pride in being kind and gentle, even though these aren't good traits in the rat race, a kind and gentle person. But we, as Muslims, we take pride in being humble and kind and gentle. And we don't want to be bullies and all these kind of people. And if Allah puts us in a situation we have to fight and defend what's ours, we do that with dignity and patience. So we're not so kind and gentle that we're pushovers, but we're kind and gentle. Bismillah. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَحَبَّةَ الْغِنَى مَخْتِيَارِ اللَّهِ لِعَبْدِهِ الْفَقْرِ تَسَقُّتْ. You should know that a person loving wealth, when Allah has chosen poverty for him, is a way for him to earn Allah Ta'ala's anger. Or from him is a displeasure with the decree of Allah. If Allah has facilitated for us poverty, we shouldn't want to be rich. And vice versa. If Allah gives us wealth, we shouldn't want to be poor. We should be satisfied with whatever Allah gives us and give each state the associated rights. وَمَحَبَّةَ الْفَقْرِ مَخْتِيَارِ اللَّهِ لِعَبْدِهِ الْغِنَى. And his desiring or loving poverty when Allah has facilitated wealth for him, جَوَرٌ. This is treachery. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ هَرَبٌ مِنَ الشُّكْرِ لِقِلَّةِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. And all of this is the person fleeing away from giving thanks to Allah Ta'ala for his blessings because of the paucity of his knowledge. Because if we had knowledge, we'll know whatever Allah has put me in is a blessing for me. And we give thanks for that. Running away is fleeing from thanks. And if we flee from thanks, we should know. Allah Ta'ala, as we said many times, this ayah, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you give thanks, I will increase you. And then the rest of the ayah, وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, and if you reject my blessings, you should know that my punishment is severe. So, running away from the state Allah has facilitated for us is a rejection of His blessings, and we're opening ourselves up to the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ, we mentioned, وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ هَرَبٌ مِنَ الشُّكْرِ لِقِلَّةِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ, and all of this is fleeing away from giving the thanks that's owed for what Allah has facilitated because of the paucity of knowledge. وَتَضْيِيعٌ لِلْأَوْقَاتِ مِنْ قِسَرِ الْإِلْمِ, and his wasting his time because of the scarcity of his shortness of his knowledge. Because why do we waste time? Because we are struggling to go against something Allah has facilitated for us. In other words, we're trying to swim upstream. And we know when we swim upstream, we waste a lot of time. So Allah has facilitated poverty, and we're trying to get rich, we're wasting time. Allah has facilitated wealth, we want to be poor, we're wasting time. And He's going to talk about specifically what wasting time means in a minute. So, but we'll stop here. Oh, not yet. We'll stop in a few minutes, so we'll continue. Should have read the note first. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ إِمَانَ الْغِنَى لَا يُصْلِحُهُ الْفَقَرُ, and that's because the faith of the rich person will not be benefited by poverty. So a person is wealthy and they're paying their zakat, but they have a nice little cushion, and they're content and they're stable. So no, I want to be poor, so they give all their money away. So now a trial comes. Before, when the trial came, they just had to call their accountant. Now the trial comes, there's no accountant to call. They had to lay the accountant off. And there's no money to pay him anyway. And then there's a panic. And then there's questioning Allah. You know, Allah, why did you put me in this situation when that's what we alleged that we want? And the panic sets in. Now there's a convulsion in the person's faith. So he says that the faith of the wealthy person won't be benefited by poverty. And the faith of the poor person won't be benefited by wealth. The person is poor, comes to Juma every week, makes all of his prayers in the masjid, scrapes by and pays his rent, but has a lot of time to worship Allah, volunteers with the Muslim scouts. Then the person gets wealthy, he's working 3 jobs, never comes to the masjid, doesn't do volunteer work, his heart grows hard, his iman gets weak, his prayers start dropping off, then his faith starts weakening, he starts questioning Allah, then he gets another job, and he's so caught up that before you know it, boom. How come we don't see so-and-so in the masjid anymore? He's counting his money. So his faith goes. So Allah Ta'ala, he says, Imam al-Muhasibi, وَإِمَانَ الْفَقِيرُ لَا يُصْلِحُهُ الْغِنَى, and the faith of the poor person isn't benefited by wealth. كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْخَبَرِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَقُولُ, actually, this is a hadith Qudsi, is da'if, related by Anas bin Malik. But in this bab, the ulama says it's permissible to work with weak hadith, especially when there are other things that support the meaning that it conveys. Anyway, it says, "Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanuhu ila al-faqr." He says that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala says through His Prophet, in Hadith Qudsi, "Verily from my servants there are those whose faith will only be benefited by poverty. وَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. And if I were to enrich him, this would corrupt his faith. وَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُ إِيمَانُهُ إِلَّا الْغِنَى. And from my servants there are those whose faith is only benefited by wealth. وَلَوْ أَفْقَرْتُهُ لَأَفْسَدَهُ ذَلِكَ. And if I were to impoverish him, that would corrupt his faith. وَكَذَلِكَ فِي الصِّحَّةِ وَالثَّقَمِ. And similarly in health and disease. We shouldn't desire, if we're healthy, to be sick. We should thank Allah for the blessings and use our health and strength wisely. And according to what he's implying here, if we're sick, we shouldn't desire to be well. But that's not a sound Islamic concept, even though Imam Ghazali mentions in the Ihya five or six states where it's permissible to desire to remain in sickness. One of those is that if you're sick and you know that you've been committing a lot of sins and you want to remain in sickness at least for a while so that Allah relieves more of your sins. Because every illness that afflicts us, for that Allah relieves our sins. So there are other states that it is permissible sometimes, but as a general rule, it's a desirable thing to ask that Allah Ta'ala cures us. فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَتَّهِمْهُ. And the one who knows Allah, he doesn't accuse Allah. He doesn't question Allah's decree. And so desiring the opposite state is a form of questioning Allah Ta'ala's decree. What we try to do is to understand Allah's decree, the wisdom behind it. وَمَنْ فَهِمَ عَنِ اللَّهِ رَضِيَ بِقَضَائِهِ. And this is what we just said. Whoever understands what Allah's, the plan Allah is working, then he's content with whatever Allah has decreed. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. And if the people of knowledge only had this verse, it would have sufficed them. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. That your Lord creates whatsoever desires and He makes the choices, they have no choice whatsoever. So the decree is with Allah Ta'ala. So what Allah Ta'ala decrees, we understand that and we work with that and we make the best of that. وَحْذَا أَخْلَاقَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And beware of taking on the character of the ignorant people. And this is especially important for our Muslim youth. If there are any of the young Muslims in here under the age of 18, don't raise your hand, but listen carefully. And even older. We have older people. You shouldn't imitate a bunch of foolish kafirs. So you see Muslims with baseball hats turned around backwards and their pants falling off their rear end and dragging on the ground. These are manners of the most ignorant of the kafirs. Even the good kafirs don't have these manners. When we were growing up, Brother Desham can testify to this. If you walked around with your pants hanging off your rear end, your belt unbuckled, someone would slap you upside your head and say, "Boy, pull up those pants and buckle your belt and tie your shoes." You would get beat up everywhere you went. People just constantly, you just give up. This boom, you feel like you're in a pinball machine. Pull those pants up, button that, tie those shoes. Boy. Now they throw all the parents in jail for child abuse. He slapped the kid in public. There, alhamdulillah, we lived before the creation of DCYS, Department of Children and Youth Services. So we had a sane society. Now we have an insane society and we have DCYS. But you can have these manners in using foul language. Muslims, the Muslim is dignified. A Muslim is above that, and it's not a fitting befitting, as he says, beware of taking the characteristic of ignorant people. These are ignorant people. They have no guidance, divine guidance or otherwise. وَمُجَالَسَةَ الْمُذْنِبِينَ, and sitting in the company of sinners. And this is what we do when we turn on the television. All these fornicating, sinning, treacherous, half of them are slum landlords. What do you think movie stars do with all their millions? They buy up houses in the ghetto. And they don't put any money into them, and they try to hold on to them just long enough to sell them for a profit. And they don't care if they're rat infested, roach infested, asbestos infested. They don't care about any of that stuff. And these are the people that are entertaining us. Drug addicts. Where our Muslim children put drug addicts on their walls. And want to imitate drug addicts, alcoholics, schizophrenics, lunatics. That's who these people are. We don't know these people. We don't know who these people are. But they have big problems. And one reason we're starting to have big problems is because we want to act like them and be like them. وَدَعَا وَالْمُعْجِبِينَ, and the false claims of those who are vainglorious, the pretenses of the vainglorious. وَرَجَاءَ الْمُخْتَرِينَ, and the aspirations of the self-deceived. وَيَأْسَ الْقَانِطِينَ, and the despair of the hopeless. We're not hopeless. We have problems, but we have hope. And it's part of our aqidah to have hope that we're going to have good from Allah and that our problems are going to be solved. A Muslim is mutathail and not mutasha'im. A Muslim is an optimist, not a pessimist. And Allah Ta'ala says in His book, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مَنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. There is only a disbelieving people who despair from receiving any relief or help from Allah Ta'ala. So we should not be like a disbelieving people. We always have hope and things are going to be better. And Allah has promised us that things will be better, and we work towards making things better, and we don't give up hope and sink down into a quagmire of hopelessness and incompetence. That we're dignified people. وَكُنْ بِالْحَقِّ عَامِلًا, and always act on the basis of truth. وَبِاللَّهِ وَاثِقًا, and always trust in Allah. وَبِالْمَعْرُوفِ آمِرًا, and always command the good. وَعَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ نَاهِيًا, and always forbid the evil. فَإِنَّ مَنْ صَدَقَ اللَّهَ نَصَحَهُ, for the one that is truthful with Allah, then Allah will lead him in good ways. وَمَنْ تَزَيَّنَا لِغَيْرِهِ فَضَحَهُ, and the one who tries to adorn himself with other than Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will disgrace him. وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَيْهِ كَفَاهُ, and the one that relies on Allah, Allah suffices him. وَمَنْ وَثِقَ بِغَيْرِهِ مَقَتَهُ, and the one who puts his trust in other than Allah, then Allah hates him. وَمَنْ خَافَهُ أَمَّنَهُ, and the one who fears Allah, Allah gives him safety and security. SubhanAllah. The one who fears Allah, Allah makes him safe. وَمَنْ شَكَرَهُ زَادَهُ, and the one who thanks Allah, Allah gives him increase. وَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ أَكْرَمَهُ, and the one who obeys Allah, Allah ennobles him. وَمَنْ آثَرَهُ أَحَبَّهُ, and the one who gives preference to Allah, Allah loves him. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَيَبْقَى. They prefer the life of this world, but the hereafter is better and longer lasting. وَحْذَرْ أَن تَدِينَ لِلَّهِ بِالْعَقْلِ. Beware that you base your deen on your intellect, not in terms of understanding Allah, understanding, but building one's faith strictly on intellect. And remember, Imam Muhasabi was one of the biggest enemies of the Mu'tazila, the rationalist, to the point that one puts the intellect before the revelation. So if something doesn't make sense, we reject it. This is what he's talking about. So that's not rational. I heard someone say, not to mention any names, that we know the story of Noah's Ark has to be an allegory. It can't be true, because I have two dogs and a cat, and the stench almost drives me out of my house. So by extension, if Noah had all those animals on the ark, how could he stand the odor of it? I heard this with my own ears. When a'udhu billah. So in other words, it doesn't make sense that this story could have actually happened. It defies logic, as if our logic is undefiable. So then he says, and we'll stop and take a break in a minute, inshallah, for a couple minutes, then we'll deal with some of these questions, inshallah ta'ala. وَتَعْمَلَ وَتَعْمَلَ بِالْهَوَى. And don't act on the basis of your inclination. وَتَتْرُكَ وَتَتْرُكَ الْحَقِّ. And don't leave the truth. وَتَبُوَ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And don't confess your sins falsely. Wallahu a'lam. In terms of this expression, where, because we say where to Allah, where abu'u bi dhammi, and Sayyidul Istighfar, where abu'u bi dhammi, I confess my sins to you. So we should do this truthfully and sincerely, and not falsely. Wallahu a'lam. This is where tabu'a bil batil. Allah a'lam. وَتَتَمَنَّ الْمَغْفِرَةَ وَأَنْتَ نَاسٍ لِلْتَوْبَةِ. And seek for forgiveness when you forget to make repentance. So we pray that Allah Ta'ala leads us to avoid all of these pitfalls. So we'll take a break now. And alhamdulillah, we're in good shape for finishing the book. This is all that's left of the book. You can see a few pages. So inshallah, when we come back this afternoon, we will finish the book, inshallah. And we pray that Allah makes it a source of good for us and benefit. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.